discipleship. And this is kind of the last of six in this series. Jack may have some more to add on discipleship next week. We're going to try to wrap things up mostly today. But we've had this theme for the year, people, God's treasure, our treasure. I've got a banner over here and remind you, that you can, if you get really close to that banner, you can actually see people's faces in the mosaic there. It's really cool. If you haven't checked that out, you can look at that. There's a picture there of Ron and Marlene hugging somewhere. I know. I've seen it. Look for that in there. So our theme this year is people are God's treasure and our treasure. And we looked at this passage that says if you do these two things, you've got everything covered. If you love God and put Him first, and you love one another, that really covers everything that's in the Bible that Jesus says here. And so we've been doing a number of different relationship studies, our relationship to the large group here on Sunday morning, our relationship to small groups in our homes through the week. And today we're going to continue last week where we were talking. Last week we talked about why should I take time out of my schedule to spend time with one other person through the week to invest in their relationship with the Lord so they can invest in my relationship with the Lord and for each one of us to grow. Does anybody remember the three reasons we talked about why we should do that? Jesus said so, right? He told us to do that. There's a predator out there on the prowl who wants to take out people, and we need to guard against that. And number three, there's weeds that spring up. If we don't do anything, we get weeds for free. And we want to keep those weeds plucked out. And we want to care for our souls and care for one another's souls. So that's why we do this. Now this week, we want to be a little more practical and think, all right, how, if this all comes down to me making disciples or investing in somebody else's life, what does that look like on a personal one-on-one relationship level? And I want to review a couple points here. Earlier in the series, we talked about Mark chapter 3. Jesus told us why He picked the 12. He picked them to be with Him, to spend time with Him. And that was part of their learning, was just spending time with Jesus, watching how He interacted with people, watching what He did, listen to what He taught, spending time with Him. And we certainly do that. But then there was this other component where He said the second reason He picked the 12 was to send them out, that they would do the same with other people as well. We talked about that some in a small group context, and that applies to us individually. And then lastly was to bring the kingdom. He empowered them to heal the sick and to cast out demons and basically bring the life of God to people that they were in touch with. And so that's the three things that Jesus said was the purpose of Him selecting out the 12 to be with Him, to be with others, and to bring the kingdom. And I've experimented with different definitions of discipleship throughout this series, and I'm going to close with an even different one. But I think it represents, for those who are math-oriented, this is not real math, right? But I think it's a really good formula for discipleship, okay? There's transformation that happens in our lives as we study, as we acquire knowledge. That knowledge is combined with obedience. We actually do what the Bible says. We don't just memorize it. We actually do it. So knowledge plus obedience over time, right? Over time. Got it? Okay. Knowledge plus obedience over time equals transformation in my life. But there comes a point in that transformation where I have to multiply that with others, right? So knowledge plus obedience over time, multiplied by others, sharing that in the large group, the small group, and in one-on-one relationships, that produces real transformation. And that's what discipleship's about.
That's not real math, because if you increase time, transformation goes down.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Peter. Yeah. So this is not real math. Yes, yes. This is disciple math. This says they were untrained and uneducated, so this, we're all right here. Yep. So that's in your little bulletin insert. So if you want to follow along, we're going to talk about, there's an insert in your bulletin today, some ways that we can make disciples ourselves. And this is talking about that one-on-one relationship of mentoring. And we can talk about discipleship on a number of layers. Now we want to get down to just one-on-one, person-to-person. How can we help one another grow in our faith? So how do I do that? And I thought I would just start out to talk about my different experiences with mentors and mentees. So I have been a mentee in a number of different, and I put the note here, different people, different seasons, different reasons. I find that in my professional life, I've been a mentee. There have been people in my career that I've spent anywhere from a few months to a year meeting with them on a monthly basis. And I have questions for them, things about anything about career-related aspirations, advancement, leadership, things that I need to learn to grow in my career. And so I would bring questions to them, and then I would listen, much like the disciples listened to Jesus in amazement as they share their wisdom with me. And I would learn, and I would grow through that experience. And over the last 8 years in my previous job, I had probably three different long-term mentors of at least a year where we would meet every month. I had mentees in my previous role. I had, professionally, I would have people that would come to me and they would say, I want to know how to do what you do. And I would spend time with them. And we would set up a regular appointment on a monthly basis or a biweekly basis. And I would tell them, these are the things that I've learned from my mentors. And I would pass those on to my mentees. So there's this chain that there's somebody that knows a little more than I do, and I learn from them. Then I share that with those people who are a few steps behind me. And that's the mentor and the mentee relationship. I've done the same in the kingdom. There was a time back when I worked at Toyota, a coworker and I, he had kind of wandered away from the Lord. And over lunch one day, he said, you know, I'm just not sure. I'm studying Tai Chi, and I'm looking for answers. And I said, well, why don't you just pray and say, hey, God, if you're there, show yourself to me. That's what I told him to do. Just, hey, God, if you're real, if you're true. And all of a sudden, he began to have these little serendipities, things that just started to happen, started to click for him. And he started to realize God was speaking to him. And so we began to meet over lunch for, I think it was on a weekly basis. We began to meet over lunch and hold each other accountable and help him grow. And very quickly, we actually used this life transformation group thing from Neil Cole's organization. It's a really good little model for just praying for one another, praying for salvation, studying the Word together. So it was kind of the lightweight discipleship. That's a whole, you know, people read whole books on discipleship. So if you want to start really easy, just grab the quick brochure on discipleship, right? So those are out in the back. But anyway, he grew, and this peer of mine suddenly went way past me. Amazon began delivering crates of books to his house, and I told him he had more books than seminary students are assigned to read. I mean, this guy dove in headfirst and became an apologist, and he really pursued the Lord. And now I look to him sometimes for answers. And so that's this transformation that can happen with knowledge and obedience over time with others yields transformation. Right now, currently, I'm meeting with two guys here at the church. One guy we've been meeting for about 6 or 8 months. And we've been going through this book here, the Tom Houser book, Run in Such a Way. It's a really good book. And the thing about the, you know, it provides a good prod to get into certain areas of obedience and certain areas of your life as you kind of go through the Word together and He guides you through that. It's been really good for us, but we didn't start out with a book. We just started out getting to know one another. And we started learning about each other's past and our story. And then after about a month or 6 weeks of doing that on a weekly basis, we decided, you know, we should probably put some structure around this and make it a little more formal. So we decided to use a book and kind of go through that. So there are a number of ways you can do discipleship. These are some of the ways that it's worked for me in being a mentor or a mentee. The other thing I'll mention is that these two guys I'm meeting with at the church right now, one of them, most of our conversations are on the phone. Because I have traveled a lot, and he has a difficult work schedule as well. So I would say out of 6 or 8 months that we've been meeting, maybe 3 or 4 of those have been face-to-face. So I'm giving you an out. Okay, I'm going to try to make this as easy as possible. If you need to squeeze time in your week for making time for one another, a phone call works, or Skype or FaceTime, whatever app you want to use to talk to one another. You can do that, and I'll give you credit for that. All right. I think the Lord will too. So I thought it would be interesting to just highlight, I'm not going to go deep on any one of these, but just to call out, there are a lot of famous pairs in the Bible. You know, in entertainment, we've got Laurel and Hardy and Batman and Robin and all these different people. But in the Bible, we've got some real characters here. We've got Moses and Joshua and their relationship. How Joshua would sit in the tent with Moses as he met with the Lord and he learned. And then he became the next leader. Eli, the priest, and Samuel, who was charged to him at a young age. David and Jonathan, best friends. Ruth and Naomi, the mother and her daughter-in-law. Elijah and Elisha, the prophets. Famous pairs of people who were in a learning relationship together. And then there's Paul. And Paul had a number of different ministry partners or disciples that he worked with. And he just calls it straight out here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. And that's as a mentor, when we want to mentor somebody in the faith, that's what we really is our message to them. Look how I did it. I'm following the Lord and just kind of do what I do. Have you ever seen, you know, in a movie or some scene where like there's the young green kid and like the senior guy, and he's like, just stick with me, kid, you know, and just do what I do. Watch, you know. That kind of thing. And so you hang around with people who are mature in the faith, and you watch what they do. You listen to how they talk. You watch how they deal with things, how they prioritize their time and their money, and you learn from them. You learn that they invest. They see value in you, and you begin to see value in others. And so there's this relationship. Now, Paul had a number of different ministry partners. Paul and Barnabas were the first pair, and then things kind of went bad in their relationship. They had a major, sharp disagreement over another person, and then they decided to part ways. And I bring that up because this is the reality of mentor and mentee relationships. There are times where you simply have the purpose of your time together has been fulfilled, and it's time for you to go different ways. And so then Barnabas took someone else under his wing, and Paul then takes Silas under his wing, and they became ministry partners. And then later, Paul and Timothy. Over and over, we see these references to Paul and Timothy. And we've got two letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, which were basically Paul mentoring Timothy in ministry. So we've got those that we can read today. So Paul was an example of a mentor in many ways. But how can I be a mentor or a mentee? What does that look like for me, having a relationship with one other person who can either help me grow in the faith or I can help them grow in the faith? And actually, it just looks a lot like being a friend, really. Just being a friend. Spending time together. So now, in your bulletin, there are a couple passages here with some lines beside them. We're going to fill in some of these blanks. So how can I be a good mentor or mentee? Number one is just look out for others. If you want to turn to Philippians 2, this is my primary passage that we're going to look at today in Philippians chapter 2. And I thought this was really interesting. He says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. That really sounds like what Jesus said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Look towards the needs and interests of others. And that's what we're doing as a mentor. When we're helping someone else grow in their faith, we are recognizing that they have a need in an area of their life to grow. Maybe, and sometimes these relationships can be purposeful around a certain issue or something you're dealing with, something, some specific area you want to grow in, as well as just general ministry. So in this case, he says, do not look out merely for your own interests, but for the interests of others. This is this call that we've heard throughout these series this year, is to lay down our own lives as Christ did for others, to put others first, the one another's that we looked at, taking care of one another. Now, I called this out a little bit last week. If I'm going to spend time with somebody else, that means I have to put something in my schedule. And we worship our calendars. I know I don't really worship my calendar, but if I lost my calendar, I'd be in a lot of trouble, right? So if something's going to happen, it's got to be on my calendar. And what that means is it's a priority to me if it goes on my calendar. But if I put something on my calendar, that means most likely there's something else that's not going to happen. And I have to prioritize someone else's needs over my own needs. Paul addressed this a few verses later in the same chapter. It's actually one of the most despairing remarks of the Apostle Paul here, down in verse 20 and 21. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. Here's Paul writing to the Philippian church, a man who's had so many different ministry partners, and he says, I wish I had somebody to send you to help you grow. But the people that I'm with and working with right now, no one is willing to put their own interests aside to help you. Wow. That is sharp. So Paul here is saying that there comes a place where we need to seriously evaluate our own personal interests against the interests of others. Where can I make time in my life to invest in others? Because we always think that we're part of the church, right? The church will take care of them. The church. All those people that we're with here on Sunday morning, somebody's got their back. It's not me. Somebody's going to take care of it. And nobody does. When you see someone in need, maybe that's God speaking to you to say, you can be the church, that person that helps and makes a difference. Jesus with skin on, right? You can be that person that reaches into their life and makes that difference that they need. So Philippians chapter 2, look out for others. That's the first thing that's required. If you want to help somebody grow, you need to find somebody who has a need and put their needs ahead of your own. Second, I'll make this statement. People are my treasure. This is the transformation that we're aiming for this year in this whole series of treasuring people, is that we make that sacrifice personally in each one of our lives to find someone else who has a genuine need and then pour my life into this. What God has done for me, I want to do for them. What God has put other people in my life to help me, I want to find someone else that I can do that for as well and help them grow and keep it going. And really change my perspective that people are my treasure. You know, my hobbies, my interests. You know, if you think about classic interests, you know, rebuilding an old car or watching sports or whatever, you know, going out to the wood shop, making crap, whatever that thing is that you do in your spare time, maybe God would ask you to do that less and put other people into that place and showing other people that they are treasured more than those other things in your life. So next up is pray and choose. Luke 6 here, pray and choose. So this is really key. Jesus It says here, it was at that time he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named his apostles. And we talked about this process earlier in this series where Jesus had many disciples. He had large crowds of disciples who were following him, listening to him. But then he knew that that was too unwieldy. He needed to narrow down the group to some people who were really kind of got it. They understood him. And he was going to pick 12 out of there. But before he didn't just do that willy-nilly. He went out and put prayer into this decision. So what I would ask you is when you look at who is somebody on either end of this relationship, if I'm a mentor, I look around and I see who is somebody that I know that needs help growing in their faith. I see them struggling in this area. I don't see them making progress. How can I help them? And pray. Pray for that person. Ask God, is this what you would have me to do? Would you have me take that person in and help them and grow? Help them grow? As a mentee, somebody who's needing to grow, you can look around and you can say, Lord, I really want to change. I want that transformation in my life. I need somebody to help me. Because sometimes that's all it takes, is just another person to give us that extra strength, that extra boost of willpower and determination and discipline to help us grow and open our eyes and show us some things we didn't understand, maybe expose some beliefs that we've held that perhaps are not quite accurate, that have been holding us back in our relationship. Mentors can do that for us. So then here, we should pray and say, Lord, show me who it is that I should spend this time with. Time. You've seen this little meme on the internet. I'm having people over to stare at their phones later if you want to come by. Isn't that what we do? We get together as a group and everybody's sitting there looking at their phones. And you know, God, here's my Genesis plug for this message, Genesis 2:18. God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. He has his phone. He's not alone, right? He has his phone. Yeah. You can see Adam and Eve sitting there in the garden with their phone. Yeah. So, but the funny thing here is that the reason we laugh is we know it's true. We've all got all these connections in social media, and I've got 782 friends, right, on Facebook. But really, do I really have those? The paradox of social media is that people who spend more time on social media are actually the more lonely people. And somebody said it's like we're looking at everybody else's highlight reel. We only see the good things, their pictures at the beach, you know. I wish I was at the beach with them. And that's why I like the picture. And so I've had a social connection now. No, you haven't. You didn't actually go talk to that person, right? There's nothing really that social happening. You know, social means spending time together. And so God said it's not good for us to be alone. That's the way He designed us. He designed us to spend time with other people. We have that need deep inside of us. So time is the next ingredient in a mentor-mentee relationship and discipling. It's going to require you to make time for others and spend that time together. Because as you spend time together, you will get to understand one another and learn. And as you're conversing and talking and you begin to see patterns, and it gives you clues about how can I help this person grow? Where are their needs? And as you're listening to the Holy Spirit, kind of like Tom Short said, you know, we have our spiritual antenna up and we're listening as we're talking and saying, God, we continue to pray through this relationship. Show me how I can help this one grow. Or if I'm on the other end, just having a posture of receptivity while I'm spending time with this other person, saying, I know there's something that you can help me with, because I've seen you struggle in this area. I've heard you talk about how you struggled in this area once before and how you can now help me. And so spending time together then is important. Have you seen this little sign? A good friend is cheaper than therapy. Yeah, there's something to really that adds up to that. I mean, if you just go outside This one particular person that I've been meeting with here lately, we just go down to Blacklick Woods Metro Park, and we just start out on Saturday morning. We go for a little walk, a mile, 2 miles, just getting out of the house and getting out of the rut, going out, enjoying nature, and just spending time talking to one another. And what happens when we do that, Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And this new commandment I give you to love the Lord and love other people, right? And we're fulfilling that by just bearing one another's burdens. And so a lot of times, what do you do when you get together as two people to mentor, mentee? What do you do when you get together? You just talk about your week. Talk about your struggles. Talk about your highs and lows. What was my best thing this week? What was the thing that really got me? Where did I struggle? Where did I fall this week? Where do I need picked up? Highs and lows. Bear one another's burdens. Proverbs 27:9. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and so a man's counsel is sweet to his friend. You ever spend time with someone, and you're kind of walking away, driving away, and you just think, boy, that felt good. I just feel better having had a chance to talk to somebody about it, right? And I didn't have to pay $150 for a counselor for that hour, right? Friends are cheaper than therapy. And it really does help cleanse our souls just to confess our struggles to one another and to pray for one another. So it's not rocket science. In discipling one another, we spend time together, we talk, we share our struggles, we share our burdens with one another. And then there's this component of some type of content, teaching, studying, reading, doing something together. Because this discipleship formula is knowledge and obedience, right? So knowledge, I learn things, but then I have to do those things. That's the obedience, knowledge and obedience. So here, Jesus in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:20, he said to go out there and baptize them, but he also said to teach them everything, to observe everything that I've commanded you. So there's some teaching involved in a mentor-mentee relationship. Well, not only are we coming up, you know, we're listening to the Lord, we're praying, we're talking, sharing our burdens, and then there's this time where we say, okay, what does the Word say about that? Let's look at the Bible, and let's see where I can grow. Is there a story, is there a lesson in Scripture then that can help me in that particular area where I'm struggling? And so there needs to be some focus, some solid content there from the Word as part of your time together. And then praying, again, and this time is a different kind of prayer. The first prayer was, God, please direct me to the right person who can help me grow. The second kind of prayer is different, Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. And again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. So, as we just read, it's not good for man to be alone. So if he's not alone, that means there's at least two people there. And Jesus says, when you've got two people, you know what? I'm going to be there too. That's kind of like three people. Yeah. So it's more than just friends. It's more than that, because when two or three people get together to seek the Lord, Jesus says, I will be there with you. When you're concerned about, I'm not that mature of a believer. I don't know what to tell this person. They've come to me for help. What do I say? Well, Jesus is in the same conversation with you, listening. And the Holy Spirit inside of you will help you and give you the right words to share with them. You can look at the Bible together and help you grow. So it says when you agree on earth about anything, it's kind of implying that we're praying together. So when someone is sharing their struggle with me, or maybe it's a good thing, maybe we want to rejoice together, but when we can pray and agree together, and there's something extra special about that, Jesus says. We can pray in our own closet by ourselves, but there's something extra special that happens when we come together and agree with one other person. Jesus says, I'm there, and we've got this, because I'm with you in this. So let's talk about some practical stuff, practical things. How do I do this, all right? We've talked about different passages to kind of guide us through what does it look like to mentor and invest in one another's life. So let's talk about some practical things then. Who do I pick? Well, Titus chapter 2, I don't have it called up on the slide. We don't need to read all of it, but I would encourage you to go back and read Titus chapter 2. This passage talks about the older men are supposed to do this and the younger men kind of like this. The older women, this. The younger women, that. And it talks about, basically, it kind of describes the older men discipling the younger men and the older women discipling the younger women. So think about, not necessarily, it doesn't have to be in terms of physical age, it can be. It could also be spiritual maturity. Somebody who's been a believer longer than you have. You can seek them out and ask them for help and guidance. So who should I pick? Somebody who's, depending on which side of that equation you're on, the mentee or the mentor, somebody a little older perhaps. The same gender. So it's not a good idea for married women and men who are not married to one another to spend time together alone. Right? So just protecting your own integrity, or unmarried young men and young women who are not really otherwise engaged or courting. You know, we want to basically protect our relationships and our boundaries. If you're going to be spending a lot of time with somebody and sharing your deepest concerns with that person, it should be another, if you're a guy, another brother. If you're a lady, another sister, right? Another somebody that you can share on a deep level with without creating an unnecessary bond that could lead to the wrong thing when you're mixing genders there. Titus chapter 2, again, models that for us. It could be couples. Let's say you're a young married couple, new parents, and you need help. You want somebody else who's more mature in the faith and parenting, and you've watched them raise their kids, and you need help in your own family. You can reach out as couples and have maybe another mentor couple to help you, and maybe you just get together every few weeks or so and just say, here's what's going on in our family. How do we, you know, and this works at any age or stage of family life, really. And so it doesn't have to be single individuals. It could be couples who are mentoring one another. Another thing I want to caution you against is not overextending yourself. Don't overcommit. Don't develop so many commitments that you really kind of dilute the experience. Because there really is some time and preparation before you meet with someone. You should be praying for them, looking at your notes from the last time you were together, maybe if you've got a book to read together, praying and preparing for that. And that takes time. So the risk, I knew earlier this year when we were starting to talk about group, large group fellowship, small group in the home fellowship, and relationships with one another. So let's do the math here. So if I'm plugged into two small groups and I have three mentoring relationships through the week, that adds up really quick, say about 2 hours apiece. All of a sudden I'm at 10 hours of a commitment in the week. I can't really manage that well if I'm also trying to hold down a full-time job and everything else. So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When you're picking someone to mentor or to be mentored by, be aware of their time and their commitments. And so I'm saying this just to add a word of caution, just to be careful not to overcommit. Because if I tried, I would love to meet with every one of you. I really would. I really love every one of you. And I would love to spend so much time with each one of you. But I physically can't do that. That's why I'm asking you to do this. Find somebody that you can spend time with and pour relationships together. But be careful not to overcommit, because then it would just dilute the experience and you may not be able to sustain that. We're looking for a long-term sustainable relationship. You may not be compatible, you know, as a mentor-mentee relationship. And give it a few weeks. And if this just isn't working out, give each other a graceful out, okay? If something's just not clicking, it's not working. You know, we mentioned Paul and Barnabas earlier. They recognized at one point that this isn't going to work out too well if we continue this. So there may be some odd circumstance where it just doesn't work. I'm not saying that would be the norm, but just be aware of that. If it doesn't work, then just pray again and find someone else. All right. And if you're married, you should have a similar relationship with your spouse. And I'm not saying that your spouse should be your only mentor-mentee type discipleship relationship, okay? But if you're going to invest in other people, you should also be investing in your relationship with your spouse as well. So let's talk about what do we do when we meet? Or how do we meet? I would recommend that you meet at least every week or every other week in this context. Professionally, when I've had a mentor-mentee relationship, it's been on more of a monthly basis. But in this nature of relationship in the kingdom and growing in my faith, I would recommend that you meet weekly or every other week. Because if you miss one of these, if you're meeting every week and you miss one, it's not that big of a deal because you'll catch them the next week. If you're meeting once a month and you miss one, you could go weeks without that connection. And so that's kind of hard. So I would really encourage you to meet at least every week, every other week. And just start off easy by building relationship. You may not know this person that well. Start off just sharing stories, getting to know one another. Talk about your family, where you're from. Anybody remember that acronym we talked about? Where you're from. Your relation, or recreation, occupation, married, family, all that. You probably know that a little bit about each other already, but you know, tell your story. Tell your story. How did you come to know the Lord? What was your family life like growing up? Get to know one another, and then ease into the deep end. All right. In your first encounter with somebody in a mentor and mentee relationship, if you just like unload the dump truck, blah. Here's all my junk. Help! You could do that, I suppose. If you're really desperate, you know, some of us are in that place. Here's all my junk all at once. Just dump it out right there. You could do that. But I think it would probably be a little easier if we just kind of ease in and build that relationship. But listen to the Lord on that one. See if the timing's right. Optionally, you can choose a book. We've been talking about some of these different books last week and this week. They're available in the lobby there that you could use to kind of give some structure to your time together. Now, I just mentioned earlier that one of my discipleship relationships right now is mostly over the phone. I prefer face-to-face. I prefer getting together with people physically. But where that's not possible, it's okay to just call somebody. It's better than not doing it at all, right? So if a phone call is the way it works out for you, maybe you live on different sides of town and it's not practical. I mean, it might take, you know, an hour of drive time plus a couple hours together and you just can't fit that in, but I could fit in a phone call, then, you know, maybe that's practical. And I would recommend that you make a commitment to one another. When you're certain that, you know, this is a good thing that God has brought us together to help one another grow, make a commitment to one another. I would recommend for at least 3 months. And this doesn't have to be, you know, a formal signed document or anything, but just make a commitment that I'm going to stick with this person. And because the relationship that we've looked at through this series of discipleship, Jesus was with the disciples for 3 years, and it took time. And that's one of the themes we've been talking about, is this transformation happens over time. So when we look back 1 year from now, we can celebrate the change that has happened in each one of our lives. If we look at it from one day to the next, incremental changes, and maybe there's a setback and then some more incremental changes. If we look at it from one day to the next, like the slow-mo we watched, the fast video we watched a few weeks ago, the seed sprouting, the acorn, right, and the tree growing. From one day to the next, you can't really see much difference. But over time, you will see that difference. So make that commitment to one another that we recognize that this relationship is going to make progress, And we will have weeks where it's like, yes, this was great. We hit it out of the park. We had a breakthrough. And those won't be every week, though. But if we extend that over time, we see the accumulated effect of that knowledge and obedience over time. So be patient with one another. And I would recommend at least 3 months, but preferably longer, 6 months, a year, to really build relationship with one another and an accountability and just a friendship. You know, one of my things I was looking at personally this year is guys are the worst at this, not having friends. You know, just there's a. I remember when James Hemsworth was speaking, I think 2 times ago when he spoke here, he mentioned a book called Bowling Alone. So I looked up this book called Bowling Alone. It's written back in like 2000 or something, and it was about this guy that did a study about how people are less inclined in our society today to do things together. And it was a completely secular book talking about bowling leagues as an example, or civic organizations, community clubs, or the church for that matter. Some people don't see the value of spending time with people because they have their social media. And they don't value as much spending time with one another anymore. And I realized this year that I just need to spend more time with other people so I can get out of my own little bubble, you know, and see what it's like outside that bubble and really spend time and develop relationships with others. And it's so much healthier to live life that way, engaged with one another. And so that was part of my reason in seeking out some folks that I wanted to build relationships with. And I think you'll find that rewarding as well when you do that. So looking back, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Just do for others what others did for you. When you think about your walk with the Lord and how you've grown and matured, think about those who poured into your life. How did they do that? What did that look like? And then do that for others. Now, at the same time, I recognize some of us didn't have that. Maybe we could do for others what we wish others had done for us, what we'd learned along the way. And that's what this mentoring and mentee relationship looks like. It's a friendship helping one another grow. And I want to say this as well. This is not mandatory, but encouraged. Because there's this thing about if the pastor says this from the front, it's like all of a sudden everybody's got to do it now. You know, it's like, oh man, I'm on the outs if I'm not doing this thing. You know, if this doesn't work for you right now, that's okay. But I really want to encourage you to give this a try. Okay, I'm not saying everybody in the church has to have 2 mentor-mentee relationships that are going every week. All right, that's not what I'm saying. Okay, this is not some mandate, all right? But I'm just saying that if we look at the Word, it's very clear that there's a pattern that we can follow to help us grow in our relationship, and we can help others grow in their relationship with the Lord. And it looks a lot like just being a good friend to one another and making time for one another, just like Paul talked about with the Philippians, that finds to look at the interests of others and put those above your own interests, just like Christ did. And that's what we're talking about here. So discipleship then, this transformation, knowledge and obedience over time, multiplied by spending time with others, right? That's this transformation that we're looking for. So here's some resources then. I'll just mention these real quick. Obviously, there's your Bible. What better book to study together than the Bible itself? All right. Also, there's this book, Run in Such a Way. I think there's 1 copy of this left on the table out back. There's this copy up here as well. This is written by one of our pastors here on the north side of town at Grace Point. There's also this Begin and Grow and Mature in Christ, these 3 books. Just depending on what stage of your walk with the Lord that you're in, Begin, Grow, and Mature in Christ. These are really good as well if you're looking for a resource. These are also available as free PDFs. If you go out to our website, inewsong.com, there's a Grow tab. You click on that. You can get these as PDFs as well. And then this other super lightweight life transformation group. You know, if you're averse to reading like I am, hey, just this is a great way to start right here. Gives you some accountability questions and some scriptures to walk through and pray for each other. So a couple things I would ask then. If you would like to be paired with a mentor or a mentee, you've got these cards in your bulletin this morning. Just put your name on there so we know who you are, right? And your email and phone number. And then just on the back, just write down, hey, I would really like somebody to help me grow in my relationship with the Lord. Or I feel like I've got something to offer somebody else who's looking. There are others who will be looking for a mentor. Maybe the Lord's put it on your heart to be that mentor for them. Now, if you've been praying about this already, just go talk to the person. If God's kind of put somebody on your heart, maybe that on either side of that equation, mentor, mentee, we're here this morning, just go talk to them. Spend some time this week praying about it. And again, there's grace for those who don't feel compelled that this is your thing right now. But some of you, this has really touched something in your heart, a need either to give into somebody else's life or to seek somebody else to help you grow in your walk. Now, this morning I was thinking about doing something kind of like discipleship speed dating, where we just like get everybody to kind of like hold up a one if you're wanting to mentor somebody, or hold up a two, and we just kind of walk around the room and talk to one another. That wouldn't be awkward at all, would it? Yeah, Marco Polo. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put you on the spot like that today. But anyway, we're here together every Sunday morning. And I want you to pray about this through the week. And ask God to lay someone on your heart that you need to reach out to. And then just get started. Just do it. Just make some time on your calendar and reach out to that person. Exchange phone numbers, emails, whatever you need to do. And just connect up with someone, because the whole point of this series is I want to help everyone here grow. That's what we're after. We want people to grow in their relationship with one another and their relationship with the Lord. And that brings us full circle to that passage that we started out with, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when you do those two things, you got all the bases covered. So that's my encouragement to you, is to find somebody that can share that with you and get started this week. Get started this week. Let's pray.